The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 531, recorded on March 4th, 2019.
Hello, and welcome to the 531st edition of the TD Gaming Podcast, and 364th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Denzer.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of things going on right now which are not really going to discuss. Right now, they're talking about Anthem breaking PS4s. We're not going to discuss it because it's still ongoing, and we don't know what's going on. And EA, what's it called, and BioWare have yet to meaningfully respond yet. So that's going to have to be put on hold. And it's basically non-news to me anyway. There's plenty of stuff that happens that's even more impressive. That came out wrong.
Well, I mean, as far as I've known in the long history of games, I don't know if there's ever been another PS4 game that just shut off the system and then eventually just bricked it entirely.
Oh, there's been a few.
Nah, there really haven't. On
the
PS4?
Did that. What?
No, I'm talking about PS4.
I know. Oh, PS3. Well, I mean, it's happened on other consoles.
How would that get by quality control? I mean, surely they'd be playing the game on a system and see it bricking a system.
I wonder if these PS4s were modded.
No, I have a theory. I have a theory that it's like recently there have been some major games that have been making the fan run, like the hardware work harder and faster. I've had a lot of people saying that it's making the fan run fast. I have a feeling that if you play the game
for the PS4 to handle.
Right, and so long periods of playtime, I'm expecting if the issue is probably going to be that the strain on the system is overheating it, which would make sense for it to shut down.
Well, it depends. If these are PS4 Pros and they're bricking, then it's not. But if it's the regular base PS4, then yeah, that could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's an ongoing situation. We'll probably talk about it next week in fuller detail when we know all the information. You can talk now.
There's not much more to say until we know more. But yeah, I really do believe it's probably overheating. I can't think of anything else that would do that. And I've certainly had that happen with other technology I've used before, where just like you try to run something that's a little too high spec for what you've got. And it makes it work a little too hard, get to overheating, whole thing shuts down. And eventually, if it does that enough, it just like you fry some of your components.
You could also be making sure that you're in a cool room and your console is properly ventilated, because I know that there's these entertainment centers that'll have like an enclosed space and it's not enough airflow for the console or computers to have to keep cool.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for the PS4 to go under 200 or something, because the only game I want on the PS4 is MLB The Show.
Yeah, I mean, those games are still pretty good quality, so I don't know if they'll ever like that's always been like a flagship Sony franchise, Sony exclusive.
Well, but, first person, it's not an exclusive. I don't consider any games that are first person exclusives, although I'm going to tell you something. Microsoft is looking, they're going to shatter what it means to be an exclusive game, because having exclusives really doesn't matter anymore. And there's reasons behind that. It's related to the news items, but there's some things that I find interesting that have to be discussed regarding exclusivity, quote unquote. Anyway, so what have you been playing, TJ?
Still plugging away at Apex Legends. They're getting ready to launch a new character, but I have been changing it up a little bit. I'm getting ready to compete in Blaze Blue again up in May. So, and they're getting ready to release a patch full of new characters.
I was actually hoping you'd be playing the female Australian operator in Rainbow Six Siege, just so I could get your opinion on her.
Yeah, like, I haven't gone back to Siege for a bit, and right now I just, I don't know if I'm good enough to get back into that game. Plus, it's not the kind of game I want to play by myself. It's a squad-based game, and playing with randos, and the randos in Rainbow Six Siege suck. So it's a better game to play with friends than by yourself.
How about you? Go ahead.
I will say I'm probably going to be planning on some pretty fun things come April, because my parents called me up out of the blue the other day and told me they found a bag of video games in our old house's basement.
Really? A bag of video games?
That sounds awesome.
Not a stack of them, not a box of them, and not, you know, one of those caddies, you know, those DVD caddies, the little tower caddies. No, just a bag full of them. What was it, in like a garbage bag?
I have no idea. Like, all I know is that my dad was like, we found a bag of video games in the basement. You want us to bring them over when we come down to visit? And like, yeah. It was like, do you want to know what's in there? I was like, no, I just want to be surprised.
Well, you're going to find out it's a bunch of 2600 NES cartridges.
I mean, like, it would be great if it was any of the Nintendo games that I used to have, but like, I don't know what I expect. If I left it in a bag in the basement, I don't know if I cared about it.
But I don't know. I can imagine, like, you were packing it in a bag to take with you at some point, and then you forgot it, and then somehow the bag got migrated to the basement for, you know, later on to bring to you, and then you're like, oh, yeah, here's this bag that you know, like, 10, 20 years ago, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a bag full of doll heads.
I've lived in Texas for 8 years, so.
Oh, Texas? Well, then it could actually be a bag of human heads.
I'm older, wiser. I care about my stuff more. So it's possible that I just was a fool and left some cool things behind. But I guess I'll find out.
That is cool. Dun, dun, dun. I've been playing Slay the Spire, which is it's a turn-based card tactical game where you draw certain cards from a deck and you have a character. And you use those cards to do your attacks or defense, and you get to pick a path through a spire to the end of it, to the end goal, to the end boss, to see if you could defeat them. You can buy cards and buy items along the way and rest at campsites, and it's an interesting game. I played it a little bit. I didn't win. Had to keep trying, though. So this is a tough game. It's very challenging.
Have you ever heard of Hand of Fate 2?
Yeah, that's the isn't that CCG?
It's similar. It's an RPG where like you play a character archetype and then you collect cards as you go, and those cards affect like the it's a action RPG. When you get into like fights and encounters along the way, and like the cards that you collect influence what you deal with when you get into the action RPG element of it. Seems like something that you'd dig if you're digging that one, Scott.
Yeah, there was I just remembered this old NES card game. Oh yeah, Arcana, where you had cards and it was an RPG and you. You had like I think four characters and you used spell cards to fight the enemies. I just remembered that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that game. The opening reminded me of Ultima 4. You know, when you go into the gypsy's tent and she puts down two cards, say which card would you do? You know, the moral choices thing. Just reminds me of that. Actually, it's for the Super Nintendo, not the NES.
Yeah. The SNES one was pretty cool, I think. Slay the Spire is really challenging because it's also considered a deck building game where you're building your deck. You have to figure out what cards will complement your character, and there's three characters total. I unlocked the second one, but. There's more stuff to work at. That's a fun game.
Yeah, that game was also known. You just get killed real quick.
Yes.
But anyways. I finished Crackdown 3 and I sent it back. It was okay. I got a lot of achievements, though, which is my main point. You know, it's probably a game that I would probably get for $20 down the road. You know, it's good, and here's the thing, for TJ, Terry Crews is everything you want him to be in that game.
That's good.
But otherwise, yeah. It was, you know, it was a game yeah. that was redone because they wanted to make a game with total destructibility, and it wasn't going to happen, even with the cloud, it wasn't going to happen. So they made a good game, interesting characters, interesting ending. So, yeah, I don't know what I'm getting next, and for now, I'm just going to play a lot of Race the Sun, which I finally completed, and when you can get to the 25th level, you just keep on trying to get the highest score you possibly can. I got to 970,000. I want to break the million mark so I can get an achievement. I mean, they expect you to maybe get to 20 million because they have an achievement for that. So, and also a lot of Gathering Storm. What's interesting to me is that Gathering Storm, the expansion's been getting middling reviews, and I'm trying to think, what the hell do you want? It wasn't going to change Civ 6 completely. You're still going to be playing Civ 6 just with an extra bunch of mechanics. I don't understand the mediocre reviews.
What's mediocre in this case? Is it getting like fives or something 60, weird?
70s or 3 stars, 3.5 stars out of 5. People just not. I don't know what they were expecting.
Yeah, that seems like something where maybe they were expecting it to be like Brave New World was, where it changed everything.
It added some more factors. It added a bunch of new civs, and it's a different game. I'll tell you that. It's not like it did nothing.
It certainly did add a lot to the game. I think some people might be bothered with if they feel the AI is not using those new features properly, which has been sometimes an issue in the past.
I wouldn't say that because I've seen some AIs try to flip my cities.
Oh, yeah, that's good then.
Well, bad. I mean, hell, I just enjoy the fact that natural features are now given names and you can see them on the map. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm enjoying the new civs too. They're really good.
Excellent.
I still haven't tried Eleanor of Aquitaine in anything because her main power is that she really can flip cities. Her entire thing is culture, 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 and oh, by the way, I'm going to take your cities for my own because they're going to fall in love with me.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on to the first news item. Report. Xbox Game Pass not happening on Nintendo Switch anytime soon. This comes from comicbook.com. According to a new report, Xbox Game Pass isn't coming to the Nintendo Switch, at least not anytime soon. This report comes from or by way of Brad Sams, who made a name for himself reporting on Xbox and Microsoft. According to Sams, who cites multiple sources, Xbox Game Pass on Nintendo Switch is currently not happening. However, he does note that this could change, as Microsoft ultimately wants Xbox Game Pass on everything, but at the moment he doesn't believe there's anything in the works. Of course, this conflicts with previous reports from outlets such as Game Informer, who have claimed that Xbox Game Pass is coming to Switch this year. In addition to reports Xbox Game Pass coming to Switch, there's also been plenty of rumblings about first-party Microsoft games coming to the system as well, including some of Xbox's biggest IPs, like Halo, Cuphead, and Gears of War. The other thing is that some Amazon site in a foreign country, I forgot which one, listed Ori and the Blind Forest for Switch. And it wouldn't be this first time that Microsoft made stuff for Nintendo. I mean, forgetting Minecraft, they also did Viva Pinata and Age of Empires for the DS. And here's the other thing is that Spencer said that he wants it on all devices, and by that he also meant the PS4 or PlayStation consoles. So, at the very least, you're going to be able to play your Xbox through your cell phone or your iPad. Although, that would be kind of tricky because, the controls on those things are bad. But then again, I know a lot of people have managed to get their hardware, gamepads working on an iPad. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's cool that some Microsoft games are coming to Switch. That it's nice to see the I mean, Cuphead makes perfect sense for Switch.
Well, Ori and the Blind Forest makes even more sense, because that game is just treacly enough, you know? It's a cutesy, emotional platformer. I mean, Cuphead, yeah, but also Cuphead is also very dark. But Ori is the kind of game with its, I'm going to spoil the ending here, in which everything is happy. You know, the people you thought died didn't die. It's, everything's happy and sunshine and, you know.
I don't know. That game gets real sad for a bit.
Yeah, but it gives you sadness blue balls, as Yahtzee says, you know. if Bambi's mom is going to die, and let her stay dead.
I don't know. There's a lot in that game that gives me the feels. Not the least of which is, like, it's probably got one of the best soundtracks out there. But, yeah, I agree. It's a good place for Switch is a good place for it. That said, like, I don't know who would have expected the Game Pass to come to Switch. That seems
it's
like
going to come. And here's the reason why. Apple and Google are trying to eat people's lunch because Microsoft knows it isn't the hardware anymore. It's going to be the ecosystem, you know, and it's better to have people shelling out $10 a month or paying for a $60 Game Pass than having to buy new hardware.
I guess that's true.
You know,
I wonder what it'll take to make that happen, though, because the Nintendo Switch doesn't seem like it's capable of holding the Game Pass right now.
Microsoft is also developing the Cloud X, which is their streaming service.
Oh, that's true.
That's how it's going to be running through the Switch. They're going
to
have
Does that mean I have to have, like, an Xbox sitting nearby and
It's going to be streaming from Microsoft's servers. It's a game streaming thing, you know, in which device, you know, you stream it from Microsoft, not from your Xbox. And what's interesting is they actually polled people on this stuff, which makes me think it's coming, you know. And a lot of Xbox owners said, well, if I can get Game Pass to run through a Switch, then I'm going to buy a Switch. Because here's the thing. Can you imagine you have your data thing and you just play at Microsoft on the go with your Switch?
Because I think if Xbox wants to sell more of their games, then bringing it to the Switch sounds like a good idea, and then they can sell their
Selling games, it's more like a Netflix type service, but still, you know. I mean, Microsoft had their lunch eaten by Google already when it comes to the Google ate their lunch when it came to the what's the name of their laptops? The Chromes, yeah, the Google Chromes. I mean, the Surface are a great machine, great devices, but Google already got the jump on them, as well as Apple on that, and Microsoft's looking to the future, and they know, you know, having an ecosystem in which you can play Xbox games. You know, that's going to be where the money is going to be made, you know. And they already knew that with online services. I mean, remember when Sony was making fun of them? Oh, you're going to have to charge to have online gameplay? Ha, ha, ha. Xbox Live is a huge mistake. No one's going to pay. Oh, wait. And then they made PSN quickly because they found out, oh, wait a minute. You can make a lot of money with this.
Mm-hmm. And you can spend that money on infrastructure so people can't hack your online system and make it terrible.
That seems to be quite evident with Sony and Microsoft. Microsoft seems to have more foresight than Sony.
Microsoft may have a little bit too much foresight, because remember, when they first did the Xbox One, they had envisioned this streaming service already, which was you don't have to put a disc in. And people didn't like that idea. Chiefly because a lot of people don't have access to that internet, you know. The other thing is that this would solve a lot of problems for Nintendo. Namely, their shitty, 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 shitty online service. It is bad. It is still bad. And if Microsoft comes in and say, hey, you know what, we'll take care of that for you, Nintendo will say, sure, why not? Go ahead. Like I said, having Game Pass on the Switch makes people want to buy Switches more than it makes people want to buy, you know, because you get the games that you want, you get the games that Microsoft sells.
Right. And I'll pay anything to not have to get an Xbox.
Well, actually, people will say, well, what about – is Microsoft giving up on hardware? No. Because that's still part of their ecosystem, and this is a part of them selling the Xbox, whatever they're going to call it, in 2020, you know, and a lot of it is hardware based. Keep in mind, not everybody has a good internet connection, so streaming may not be for them.
Right, and what I mean by that is, like, I've never been wholeheartedly against Xbox. I had an Xbox 360 before, like, and I never had a PS3, but. Like, once they did Xbox Play Anywhere, I started to realize that having a good laptop, I could play any of the games that are exclusive to Xbox anyways. And at this point, it's like, if they put that elsewhere, if they continue to move it to places like Nintendo Switch, like, there's no reason for me to buy an Xbox, and I really don't feel like buying an Xbox, so that's cool by me.
Yeah, you know what the code name for the new, for the upcoming Xbox is? Scarlet. With two T's.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, please God, you know, call it the Microsoft Scarlet or the Scarlet Xbox, because that would be too cool beyond words, because I don't want to hear, oh, we're going to call it the Xbox 2. Or even
worse, that's just so not
Xbox
creative.
One X2 or the Xbox One Y or the Xbox One Z. No, it's called the Scarlet. A lot of people wanted the Xbox One X to be called the Scorpio. That's why they released the Project Scorpio edition. And, oh, by the way, there's going to be a lot of multiple SKUs. There's going to be at least two SKUs of the next Xbox, right? And I'm wondering if there's going to be a third, one that's dirt cheap, like $200, but all it does is stream games.
I mean, I think that's what the second one is going to be. I think it's basically going to be a Steam box.
Yeah, but it hooks up to your TV and it has actual games that you want to play. But I'm just saying, you know, Matt, you know, and here's the wackiest thing. A lot of people are saying that Microsoft's going to be unveiling the new Xbox at E3 this year.
Maybe. I mean,
no,
they have.
Even people who doubt it now think, yeah, there's a good chance it's going to happen. And the reason for that is the Xbox Game Pass. Because they're not worried about people not buying buying an Xbox One X because it's too, you know, because, oh, there's a new one coming. I don't think that's a concern for them anymore.
I mean, like, they with Sony backing out and several others backing out, they kind of have the stage all to themselves. They might as well do something big with it.
Yeah. Which is why I hope I get approved for E3 this year. Because either this year or next year, it's going to be huge. It's going to, you know, here's the thing. E3 has been boring the past few years, and I know it wasn't boring for you 2 years ago because it was your first E3. Hey, everybody, I'm going to tell you something. When I introduced TJ to the guy who created Rainbow Six Siege, his brain did an entire hiccup in front of me.
It was pretty neat.
It was like, holy shit. Like, this is the guy. The executive producer who made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next time I'll introduce you to someone like Hideo Kojima or something.
Kojima? Hideo Kojima? From Metal Gear Solid?
I was going to say Kojima, but that's the guy from that's the other guy.
I would love to talk to Hideo Kojima and just like chat him up about
what about if I introduce you to Pseudo 51?
No, I'd actually rather talk to Hideo Kojima about just like straight up his old catalog.
Yeah. Is Silent Hill still a thing?
Silent Hill?
Silent Hills. I mean,
no, it's dead.
Oh, okay.
It's dead, buried, and gone forever.
No, they have that stupid titled one. What was it again? It was the worst possible title for a game, especially for a horror game.
Wait, which one?
The one that's being made instead of Silent Hills. The one they announced at the Sony's press conference. I forgot the name of it. I remember it was a very stupid name. Something having to do with drowning or whatever.
Oh, Death Stranding.
Yeah, Death Stranding. That is the worst title for a game.
Hideo Kojima doesn't need to impress you. He has Guillermo del Toro and Mads Mikkelsen as his best friends every day of his life.
Yeah, Guillermo Toro, who's extremely successful in the video game field.
Yeah, well, this one time is going to be different.
He's the kiss of death.
I mean, he's got Guillermo del Toro, Mads Mikkelsen, and the guy from Boondock Saints / Walking
Maybe
Dead.
Maybe the Boondocks guy, you know, who the guy, maybe that'll impress me, but no, the others don't.
I like Mads Mikkelsen. He was one of the only compelling Bond villains of any of the new ones.
I don't know. I haven't watched any Bond films since Casino Royale. I just really haven't.
That was him in Casino Royale.
Oh, okay. The guy who played Le Chiffre?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, yeah, Mads Mikkelsen's pretty good.
Yeah, the whole world will know you scratched my balls.
He also did a pretty good Hannibal.
After Silence of the Lambs, I just checked out of that series.
All I'm saying is that Mads Mikkelsen has sort of that creepiness about him. he has a creepiness about him that just makes him perfect for those kinds of roles.
And yet people still keep on, what's it called, hiring Michael, General Zod.
I don't know.
What?
Oh, I don't know.
The guy who played General Zod in Man of Steel. Now they just hire him as the bad guy these days. He was also the villain in The Shape of Water. I forgot his name.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah, Michael. I wanted to say Michael Shannon, but then I got him confused with the other Shannon. Anyways. But, here's the thing. Like I said, Phil Spencer is just doing stuff that's innovative, that isn't stupid like Don Matrick. So I trust him. We'll see.
Yeah.
But here's the real question. If this does happen, if Xbox Game Pass does happen, does that mean we'll see Master Chief in Super Smash Bros. Brawl?
Maybe. Well, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Maybe you'll see Cuphead in Smash Bros.
That would be even more cool, if you ask me.
You could have
Cuphead as... Cuphead and like the rubber band animation are perfectly conducive to like the cartoony antics of the Smash Bros.
And you have Solid Snake in Smash Brothers too, you know.
That's true. I think Master Chief was one of the ones that were high up on the list too when people were writing in who they would want to see in the series.
Anyways, we're gonna move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Resident Evil 2 Remake was nearly first person from Game Watcher. Resident Evil 2 Remake has gone through a period of aggressively iterative development. According to the latest Capcom Roundtable discussion published on the game's official YouTube channel, Resident Evil 2 Remake first person shooter was one of the gameplay revisions that the game went through, alongside a phase in which developers attempted to recreate the original's fixed camera perspective. Similarly, certain boss fights had to be simplified for the final build. Among all of the other various subjects that the devs reference in their roundtable discussion, interesting to note is that they had the chance to basically try out whatever they thought they should during the development. With that, Resident Evil 2 Remake tried out being an FPS in a fixed camera horror adventure. We were thinking of the fixed camera as a sales point, but over the shoulder was great, so we thought we didn't need two types, they said. There was even a short driving sequence for a while, as well as a cable car scene, while certain bosses included more varied and intricate fight progressions. The alligator, for example, involved a crane at some point. With over 3.5 years on this game, I think the good part was that we tried the ideas instead of just brainstorming them, said one of the devs in the video. I'm glad it's not first-person shooter because it's cool to have it in the Resident Evil 4 style, but I don't know.
Version, there's a mod to make it first-person.
Right. But like the moment that you reintroduce Claire Redfield and Leon Kennedy into the situation, I want to see those characters get mauled and fight stuff and emote. I don't want to look through their eyes. I like the character work in Resident Evil 2 Remake. It's really fun. So, like, I don't know. Like, I can see some level of, like, it would be a little bit scarier if the zombies were right in my face, I guess. But I enjoy having it where it's over the shoulder, where, like, you know.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Resident Evil 2 remake, first-person shooter VR version.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something to be said about the fact yeah, first person can be really freaky because Resident Evil 7 proved that, like, you have a guy coming up on you looking to beat you to death. It's horrifying. And I imagine that if you turned around and Mr. X was there 3 feet in front of you, towering over you, that would probably make me pee a little bit.
You know, it would be even worse if you had the mod that turns Mr. X into Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, my God. Have you seen that, Scott?
No, I have not.
So you've seen the guy in the giant guy in the trench coat that chases you in Resident Evil 2 remake, right?
I don't think I got that far.
Oh, well, he's been kind of a meme all over on Resident Evil 2. People are really scared of him. He's basically a 8-foot-tall monster man in a trench coat and a hat that quietly stalks towards you.
Yeah, it doesn't take much for me to jump. A skeleton or a creeper in Minecraft makes me still jump.
So what somebody did was they took that character model and they replaced it with a model of Thomas the Tank Engine. And he just has a stoic smile on his face as he like just comes towards you slowly. And like with Claire in the video I saw, it was Claire, and she has the grenade launcher with the flame rounds, and they shoot a fire round at his face, and he's just on fire walking towards you with that creepy smile, and it's nightmare fuel.
Yeah, that does sound like nightmare fuel.
Well, it's very, even more nightmare fuel scary. With a mod that puts Mr. X in a tiny little Speedo. Have you seen that one? He's nearly naked in that one.
I have seen that one. I've seen them all.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's also one that gives him Thomas the Tank Engine sound effects, too. So you have the complete package. Which also, by the way, plays his theme.
Yeah.
Now, there's also one that includes the there's also another one that does the rap theme, the hip-hop theme for doing Mr. X, or coming down, X gonna do it, or something like
X,
that.
X gonna give it to you.
Yeah.
By DMX.
That one's hilarious and scary at the same time.
Absolutely. It's perfect because it even like trails off a little bit when he's not near you, and then booms up when he's close by. So it's really perfect.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next news item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Kingdom Hearts director says Marvel and Star Wars would be tricky to add. This is from the Game Informer. Kingdom Hearts 3 has been out for over a month, and fans all over have gotten a chance to take journeys through all the major Disney worlds the game has to offer, at least before any DLC gets revealed. While the series branched out to Pixar with the third game, fans have been wondering whether Sora and friends will ever branch out to other Disney properties like Marvel or Star Wars. Director Tetsuya Nomura is game, but it's not that easy. In an interview in the Ultimania book for Kingdom Hearts 3, a Square Enix staple that is usually the final word on internally developed games, Nomura was asked about the possibility of Marvel and Star Wars in future games. That's right, the director said, acknowledging that Lucasfilm and Marvel are now Disney properties. However, in order to change these properties into a game, contracts must be made with each company separately, and there are cases where other game companies already have contracts. So although Disney Group has indeed added those properties, incorporating them into Kingdom Hearts isn't so simple. That's also the reason Mickey is in only one scene in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah, the video game license for Star Wars is owned by EA right now.
At the same time, another company was releasing a game that had to do with Mickey. So though we denied his usage, we persisted and eventually got as long as you only have one scene from far away as a silhouette with him waving his hand or something, since we had to make the best of the biggest and only chance we had. That's why the scene appears that way. It's a lengthy answer that essentially comes down to a lot of people have a sign-off and they'll have their own agendas. Nomura's answer about how Mickey Mouse can only be in one scene, even after an intense negotiation, is both enlightening and no doubt frustrating. It's a wonder that these games get made at all. But it does seem like Nomura would be happy to do it if they could figure out a way to get it done. Elsewhere in the interview, he described that to even get Pixar to agree to Toy Story World, he had to write the entire plot of the world before the game was even written.
So I haven't played Kingdom Hearts 3 yet. It's been out for a month. And, you know, it's funny, it was released, and it's like almost, you know, games that have been released have been sort of like, yeah, that's out now. What's next?
Mm-hmm.
It's so, you know, aside from Resident Evil 2, it's just game releases have been so blah.
I've heard mixed feelings about Kingdom Hearts 3. I know a lot of people that are like, it was a dream come true. It was what they expected it to be. It was the end of a series, and they liked the way it played out.
Yeah, I've also heard people, series, unless it makes a lot of money.
I've also heard other people say that it was a little bit like, I mean, 10 years is a long time to wait for a game. So like it wasn't what they expected it to be. It was a little too cutscene heavy and not enough gameplay. There were some annoying things, and it's like, whatever. So it's kind of been back and forth between the fandom on there. But it was what it was. It was Kingdom Hearts 3. It was I don't really feel like I've heard anything different about Kingdom Hearts 3 that I didn't hear about the other two core entries at the time.
I feel like adding Marvel and Disney into this already bloated franchise would be killing the whole too many cooks or chefs in the kitchen. You lose complete focus of whatever the hell it is you're trying to tell and show, and now you're just like, oh, here's all these characters. Look at them interact with each other, and where's the story? You know, you're going to dilute it down to, you know, 100 characters, and each of them gets like 5 seconds or something to talk. I don't know.
I mean,
there was a time where Kingdom Hearts didn't really have much of its own stuff to do, so it kind of relied on those Disney and Square characters to fill in the blanks. I don't think you really need them anymore. You've moved from a point where it was just Sora and Kairi and Riku into a place where there's like a ton of original characters in the Kingdom Hearts universe. So like, I don't really know that you need to stuff much more in there from the other universes. I mean, it's fun doing Toy Story World and all that jazz, and fun doing Tron World and all that stuff. But like, I don't know if it like needs Marvel and Star Wars. It could, if it has it, that's neat. But if it doesn't, oh well.
Yeah, because I'd rather a Star Wars game or Marvel game be its own game. I don't need it.
You have live action characters from Pirates of the Caribbean in it already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, was there a big push for people to see Joshimi Gibbs? Yeah, we need Captain Jack Sparrow's friend, his sidekick.
Yeah, like I don't know. I mean, I imagine that a lot of people that play Kingdom Hearts don't even know what the hell Tron is, but but it's there, and I enjoy it, but. I don't know. I don't know the core audience of Kingdom Hearts is as thrilled about Tron as I am.
I don't think a lot of people remember Hercules that much anymore either. It's like, oh wait, yeah, that's that movie from 1996 or something.
Yeah, so like it is what it is. Whatever I imagine that like that's a licensing nightmare.
Donald was here because he's the big Kingdom Hearts fan. I remember speaking to him, and he told me, you know what, I've not seen a single trailer or anything whatsoever for the game because I wanted to be completely and utterly new. He avoided every single promotional item for it. So I have to ask him what he thinks of Kingdom Hearts 3 because he has to have finished it by now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing that bothers me about licensing on these games. I think really can hurt the creativity when somebody has a really good idea but they can't do anything with it because they don't own the license or the license is chopped up with multiple holders. That just sucks.
How would Marvel fit in anyway?
I don't know. I guess they would just show up. I don't know.
I mean, is Rocket Raccoon and Spider-Man and Captain Marvel going to pop up someplace? And, oh, here's a... we have to watch out. Here comes a...
that's the other thing.
Thanos, he's going to destroy everything now.
Marvel has hundreds of characters all by itself, so which of the characters are we bringing over?
Spider-Man.
You know? Spider-Man or Hulk or
maybe
Captain America or Iron Man or Wolverine. There's so many characters you could bring over.
And, I mean, the whole premise of Kingdom Hearts has always been they take a little rocket ship and go to different Disney worlds like Halloween Town or Frozen World. So like I guess you could have them like crash into the helicarrier full of Avengers and just like whatever.
And here's the other thing that I'm sure you guys are going to disagree with or whatever, but to me, Star Wars, and I don't care. I know Star Wars and Marvel is owned by Disney, but they're not Disney. They're not made by Disney. They're just owned by Disney. There's a difference.
The last two movies just smack of being made by Disney.
Which two movies?
Well, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi.
They're just rehashing the hero's journey.
I'm just saying they feel so Disney, those two movies.
Yeah, but it's still always going to be Star Wars to a certain degree, and it's not Disney. Like
from someone who watched it on first run back in 77, I don't give a flying crap about Star Wars anymore.
Well,
I'm done with Star Wars. I'm done with Star Trek.
Take it from somebody who's seen all of the Disney. Star Wars ain't Disney.
Yeah, I've never seen a Disney movie before, right? It is Disney now. And they're going to make it as Disney as possible. They're going to milk that cow until its udders are gone.
It has a Disney label on it, but it's not Disney.
It is Disney, and that's what's going to kill it. Here's the thing. It was better off just having the original trilogy and just let people use their own imaginations.
Yeah, it's better off leaving it in the hands of George Lucas. Lucas.
No, the first three movies were collaborative. It wasn't until after the Return of the Jedi that George became so rich that no one would say no to him. You know what I mean? No to him in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Even Spielberg didn't say no to him.
Either way, I agree with Scott. Star Wars ain't Disney.
Well, Star Wars ain't nothing anymore to me. No, I've gotten over Star Wars. I've gotten over Star Trek.
Have, Jonah, but other people still like those franchises. So
I'm glad they like those franchises. I just, you know, had their funeral, and I've moved on.
Okay, you've moved on. Other people haven't.
I mean, here's the thing. You could always have people who are hoping that they'll go back to their former glory, but that's never going to happen.
You can't bury the living, Jonah. I've tried. It doesn't work. They hate it.
Well, they're not the living. They're the zombies. That's why they have the term the franchise zombie. And you know what? Star Wars right now just wants to eat your brains. That's all they want. They're stumbling around Star Wars. You have even Mark Hamill didn't want to do it anymore.
something.
Here's the ironic part. The only person who wanted anything to do with Star Wars was Carrie Fisher.
Something taste in your mouth or whatever.
I still want to hear from Paul and maybe record what he thinks of Kingdom Hearts 3. Because he's the expert. You know, he's played all the Kingdom Hearts games. He played all the Kingdom Hearts. I think he did play the handheld ones too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So here's the thing. I've never played any Kingdom Hearts game. I only know them from videos and from pop culture osmosis, but I've never actually played them. So I don't know what the gameplay is like. So, I mean, you're saying that they have overly long cutscenes and that, you know, it sounds like a Metal Gear Solid game to me then. Here, watch this 40-minute video, and maybe it will let you play a little bit later on.
Yeah, but it is what it is. I mean, like, there's still game in there, and I've heard people saying they enjoy it just as much as, people complain.
You know, it's a lot like Super Smash Brothers. You know, a lot of people will say, yeah, the gameplay sucks. You know, I know that I'm not saying it sucks. I'm just saying there are people who say they the gameplay sucks, but they play it because they enjoy playing with the characters. You know, mm-hmm. It's all about the characters. I mean, that's the way it is for a lot of people for Kingdom Hearts 3. You know, they don't, hey, look, we're getting to meet all these Disney characters interact, and they're all interacting with each other. That's fun. I mean, there's something to be said about crossovers.
Right. I mean, like, a lot of people in the fighting game community that will argue that Smash isn't as much of a fighting game as it is a party game, but that doesn't stop Smash Brothers Ultimate from being the most entered game at Evo, like by a mile.
I'm just waiting for the new Pokemon game.
Yeah.
And it might be the game that makes me purchase a Switch.
There are some things I want to see out of it before I'm on board, because it is a Pokemon game.
That's why I said may. I didn't say will.
Like, it is a Pokemon game, and that's why, like, history has taught me that if I go in without thinking about it, then I might be bored, like,
I hate doing that. Getting a game, think you're going to have fun with it, and then you end up being bored with it, and then you regret buying it.
Not every Pokemon game, but, you know. Maybe this time will be the charm. I mean, it looks like a real Pokemon game. It looks like it has the mechanics of a Pokemon game. Including
right.
the good with the bad, you know, like wandering around a tall reeds, all of a sudden a Pokemon pops out.
Right. You know? I just don't want to do that for like an hour waiting for the Pokemon that I want to show up.
You know, maybe they learned some lessons from Pokemon Go.
I would hope so. Like I said, Pokemon Let's Go is super cool because they took the Dragon Quest thing of like putting all the Pokemon in the world traveling around and you just run into them and encounter them. Instead of like having it be like there's a percentage chance if you walk around in the tall grass that each step could trigger a fight. And it's like, fuck that. I don't want to do that anymore. It's boring.
JRPG obsession with random monster encounters. I wish they had ignored from D&D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a boring old trope, and I'm not a fan anymore.
No, yeah, it's a boring grind too, because you're just trying to get to a place and you just get attacked, and you have to sit there try to run away, and it's boring.
Like you get to a certain place and you're like, oh, gee, I guess there's some sort of like I guess there's a Ninetales in here somewhere. Guess I'll run around fighting 100 fucking Rattata while I wait for it to show up.
I'm thinking about Zubats, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah, the rat's tail. We're just leveling up in general. Because it's like, my wife played Dragon's Warrior 1, and she increased the XP level that she would get from fights, and she beat the game within a couple hours. Because like the majority of the gameplay was leveling up. You go rescue the princess, get the token, go cross the bridge, kill Dragon Lord. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to Kingdom Hearts, actually, I'd rather talk about Star Wars and just trash it. I thought they were going to release Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 on the new consoles so that people who never played Kingdom Hearts 3, I mean, they said, well, you don't have to play the first two to understand the first. Yeah, that's fine, but I still want to see some of the backstory.
Yeah, they did put it's on PS4, but they did put all the games together in a collection on PS4.
Yeah, that doesn't help me.
I know it doesn't help you, but that's what happened.
I mean, who the fuck is Master Xehanort? just these bad Square Enix names.
I'm going to say this right now. You could play through all of Kingdom Hearts 1, all of Kingdom Hearts 2, and several of the spin-off games. And still, there's still a percentage chance that you could be at the same level of not understanding that you are right now.
Yeah, but at least I would feel like I was following the series, you know?
Uh-huh.
By the way, that reminds me, you know, they're actually releasing Final Fantasy XII on Xbox One.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's really funny. They've actually been on a rampage releasing every single Final Fantasy that's already been out for a while, except for Final Fantasy VIII.
No, I'm just wondering because you know, Final Fantasy 13 was the shittiest RPG I ever played in my life, so I'm hoping 12 is better than that.
That's the funny thing. Final Fantasy 13 has been released more times than Final Fantasy VIII.
It has more sequels.
Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy XII, Final Fantasy X-2, which is like, oh my god, whatever.
By the way, that reminds me, you know, one news item that I completely forgot about that we should have been talking was that Microsoft bought up another PC studio, and they brought up Relic. For those who don't know who Relic is, they're the guys behind the Warcraft Dawn of War games.
Huh.
That's cool.
That's interesting.
And here's the thing what's it called, about Microsoft buying this studio. Look at the types of games that they've been buying. They bought In Exile, they bought Obsidian, and they bought Relic. And what do all these companies have in common? They're both basically PC developers. Now, I know Obsidian has branched out, but they're basically a PC developer as well. And it makes me think – you know, it makes me think the Xbox Game Pass is more of a thing, because you know what they're trying to do is they're also trying to make sure that they remain the PC developer. You know, they don't want someone to come and eat their lunch.
Yeah.
Already. It'll be interesting what they have them do, Relic. They also did Company Heroes.
That's cool. Like, I mean, like, whatever. As long as they continue with that mantra of like letting these studios do what they want to do and just make some good indie games, I'm into it.
Yeah, actually, Relic was already working for Microsoft. They're working on Age of Empires 4, so it seems to me that, you know, during that time, Microsoft looked at Age of Empires 4 and said, "Hey, that's good shit. Why don't you? We have to own you now."
Microsoft is going to become a Time Warner, the Time Warner company of video game jokes in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's starting to become that way.
But here's the thing. It's fine so long as they're under good management. I mean, they obviously learned what mistakes they're making under Don Matrick, you know. And Phil Spencer, you know, who worked for Sony at one point, if you remember, he's the reason why the PlayStation is the console to buy in Europe, you know. He's just looked at the things and found this route for Microsoft to do and said, "Listen, Microsoft, you own PC gaming. You know, you should work on that. That's why we have Play Anywhere, you know, so that you can have PC gamers enjoying Xbox games, or the big ones at least." And oh, by the way, Game Pass has been a benefit as well in some other ways, because it allows Microsoft to release games that are you know, like Crackdown 3. So it's going to be on Game Pass, so people are going to play it, you know? They're going to say, "Oh shit, let's play it."
Yeah, I'd play
it. For them not to have to rely on sales, because they can just say it was on Game Pass, so people didn't really buy it on stores. They just had it part of their subscription.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, I would play Crackdown 3 on Switch. It seems like a good place for it, too.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of people who wouldn't buy Crackdown 3, but if it's, "Hey, look, it's on Game Pass," yeah, I'll try it out.
Yeah, I mean, like, same thing, I think we've made this comparison before, but what's that game where you fight ants?
Earth Defense Force.
Earth Defense Force. Crackdown is, like, completely like Earth Defense Force, where a lot of people aren't going to buy that game, but the people that do like that game are going to buy the shit out of it. It's always been like a cult following.
But with, on the, you know, the people who are on the fence, you know, if they have Game Pass, they say, "Fuck, you know, you made it easy for me. Sure, I'll play."
Yeah, if you made like Earth Defense Force free to me for a second, I would probably give it a look, give it a go, see what it's like. Especially if I just had it, like if I was already paying a subscription and this is what you gave me, this is what you put in my lap. Yeah, I'd go. Yeah. I'd jump in for a sec.
Well, like I said, but it's a good way for you to have games that you're not sure about. You know, that might be a B game. You know, that might be a game that won't sell well. But you can save the embarrassment by saying, "You know what, let's just release it on Xbox Game Pass and have it be an advertisement. Hey, guess what? You can play Crackdown 3 if you have Game Pass, along with these other games," you know? I mean, the same thing with State of Decay, you know, State of Decay 2. A lot of people aren't going to play that game by its own, but hey, guess what? It's part of Game Pass. Let's try it out. And on a side note, I really hope they patch that thing. I was really enjoying myself for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
Until the bugs. How can you have bugs in that game? They're working for it for Dog's Age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we talk about Anthem and say, how could they have bugs on that game? They've been working on it for how long? 5 years now?
Yeah, and it's BioWare, which makes it even more disappointing.
But here's the thing, is that I'm getting – some people are telling me that Anthem wasn't ready. It was – it needed another year to cook. But it's because of Battlefield 5 and the disaster that EA's been suffering, they said, get it out. Cause we need something for our quarterly income, you know?
And little did they know that Apex Legends would save the day.
Well, they're still working on Dragon Age, whatever that is going to be. Now Dragon Age, they need more than ever.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. I hope BioWare – like, I hope they – I really – like, nightmare scenario, BioWare goes the way of Visceral, which I never thought that EA would have ever thought to close, but they did.
Well, here's the thing about BioWare. You know, is it BioWare if they don't have the doctors in the league? You know, Ray Mizuka and the other guy? Is it really BioWare?
I suppose that's true.
I mean, you know, you could say Black Isle, it's gone, but yeah, you have Obsidian and you have an Exile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just a name.
Then...
But the thing is that EA also owns the Mass Effect license, and they own the Dragon Age license, and you know those are the things that I'm concerned about. You know.
Yeah. So I hear you loud and clear. Obsidian just needs to make a straight up rip off of Dragon Age.
They didn't
I
already
am looking
with
forward to their next RPGs that they make with Microsoft and Exile as well.
Hey, mm-hmm. You know what? I'm still looking forward to the Outer Worlds.
Yeah, that's going to be – I'm way interested in that one. And I'm getting a new laptop soon, so I'll be able to play it actually.
Because here's the thing. I hate Borderlands. You know, I don't know why it gets so many positive praise. I mean, I love Tales from the Borderlands, but that was an adventure game. But Borderlands itself, it looks like The Outer Worlds will be Borderlands done right.
If it wasn't for Handsome Jack, I don't think Borderlands would be as beloved as it is.
Well, Borderlands is beloved – the first game, Handsome Jack didn't appear until Borderlands 2, right?
Nah. Borderlands 1 was decent. It was a decent co-op loot and shoot. But, like, then you had Borderlands 2, and then you had Handsome Jack. And that's why Handsome Jack plays such a huge role in Tales from the Borderlands, is because everybody fucking loves Handsome Jack. Nobody buys Borderlands for Claptrap.
Well, actually, you know, I played Poker Night 2. Claptrap was fine in that.
Yeah, but wasn't Brock Sampson also in that game?
Well, yeah, but...
There you go.
I am not as big a Venture Brothers fan, you know? I mean, well, it wasn't Claptrap. It was more having Sam and Max together in that game, really.
Mm-hmm. Also a good thing.
But here's the thing. Borderlands the pre-sequel came out in 2014, and there hasn't been a Borderlands since.
Yeah.
So.
But I keep hearing Borderlands 3 is going to come, but I don't know if I care.
I don't know if I care either. I mean, to me, The Outer Worlds is Borderlands 3.
And a world that has Destiny, Anthem, and like all these other loot and shooters, like Borderlands would have to really bring its A game if it wanted to actually matter.
Well, let's see what Rage 2 does.
Rage 2 feels like it has more context and story than Borderlands could ever hope to accomplish.
The problem is that there isn't that much of an excitement factor for Rage 2. I don't know if it's because of the first Rage, but there just doesn't seem to be that kind of hype for Rage 2. Bethesda's been pushing it, you know, and I'm wondering if it's because it's Bethesda, you know. Because Bethesda has so much shit surrounding it right now.
I don't know. I feel like when people say id Software, it perks some heads a little bit more. I mean, most of the people I talk to are...
Yeah, for Scott. Scott, are you going to be interested in The Elder Scrolls 6?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. Because that's probably going to be one of the launch titles for the new consoles.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, we already
know. I'll be getting it on PC.
We already know Elder Scrolls 6 is in development. They already announced that. It's just interesting to see. Also, that other game, what was it? Starfield. Starfield, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind having an Elder Scrolls in space if that's what it is.
That's probably what it is. I mean, that's their engine so far that they've been doing is, you know, like Wolfenstein, Fallout, and Elder Scrolls.
That bothers me, though. You know, they've been doing the same damn Gamebryo engine over and over and over again. Do something.
Yeah.
Engine, please.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they've gone as far as they can with Elder Scrolls, with Skyrim, to tell you the truth. And it's going to be interesting to see if Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be co-op. And if it is co-op, if it's going to be cross-play.
I don't know.
Whatever it is, hopefully it's not Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went bad.
What about, you know, and the thing is that I burned out on Skyrim fairly early, right? So I'm going to be reserved about whatever that's going to be, you know. I got burned with Fallout 4. I like the story, but it's telling when I don't play a story again. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm playing the Mass Effect trilogy again. It's just something I enjoy coming back to because I enjoy the dialogue, I enjoy the story. You know, with Fallout and Elder Scrolls, it just seems like too much work just to get through it. And I think it's because it's an open world. Mass Effect 3, at least, you know, Mass Effect 2 and 1, of course, at least. While it is a you can do anything at your own pace kind of thing, at least it's more structured. You know, and things don't happen unless certain other things happen. Because, let me ask you a question. Do you get attached to the characters in Fallout or Elder Scrolls like you do with, say, someone like Shepard?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got very attached to characters in Skyrim.
Really? What was their name?
There was Ariel. She was a companion with the werewolves. Lydia. I mean, everybody's favorite. Oh, I hate her. I kill her or whatever, but I liked her. I liked the king in Whiterun. And let's see what else.
Thing. I'm talking about the main character though.
the main character is a blank slate. That's you.
Exactly.
Wait, what?
People like that.
No, well, I've seen more fan stuff about Shepard than I have about the main characters of either game.
Oh, I thought we were talking about characters you meet in the Skyrim Fallout games, not the protagonist.
Yeah. I mean, even the characters you meet in Fast Effect are more interesting. I mean, there's nobody going to be more interesting than, say, Rex in any of those games.
No, I mean, like, Garrus is my favorite, so, like, I'm not going to argue too hard about that, but, like...
Yeah, he's everybody's bro.
but there are some characters in the Fallout universe that I really came to be invested in.
I don't know.
Kiri in Fallout 4, the French female Mr. Helper robot, who...
Cogsworth.
Who you take her and you install her into a female brain. And so she wants to be human, so she can live like humans.
I haven't played any of the expansions of Fallout 4.
No, that was in the base game. Kiri is one of the companions you can pick up through in the normal game.
Oh, well, see, that's just it. I never really bothered to look for them.
Kiri was easily my favorite. The detective guy was kind of fun.
Yeah, Valentine is my favorite character, but that's about it. I mean, I never really cared about Piper. I never really never cared about Strong. I never cared about the Irish girl on drugs.
But some people do. Like, that's kind of the fun of the game, is that there's someone that for somebody to come across. And Fallout New Vegas, Cassidy, Boone, a lot of those characters were really fun to work with.
Yeah, but that's an Obsidian game. I'm talking about Fallout games, actual Fallout games.
You're going to tell me that Three Dog doesn't still come on in your brain.
I just want to slap Three Dog in the face.
But he's memorable, isn't he?
You know, he had his less memorable counterpart in Fallout 4, too. The nervous guy who's in the radio station, and then you have to toughen him up, and then he starts acting like Three Dog Light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. All I'm saying is that I'm playing the trilogy over again. And what's interesting is I used to play Dragon Age 1 and 2 a lot, but then Inquisition came out, and sort of like, I can't. You know, and Dragon Age Origins was a slog. I mean, I always had the cheat code that just killed all enemies in the area just so that I can do the plot, you know. Mm-hmm. But Dragon Age Inquisition is sort of like, no, I can't. it's an MMO. It's a failed MMO. They wanted it to be an MMO, and they changed their minds when they found out this isn't going to work. And I'm hoping to heaven that Dragon Age 4, whatever it is, does not do the same thing an Inquisition does. I just want a linear story, or at least a quasi-linear story, damn it. I mean, the original guys who worked on Dragon Age Origins is working on it, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. And they're not going to be using the Frostbite engine. It sounds like they're going to be using the original engine, which is interesting, the Unreal Engine. So we'll see. This has been Jonah's opinion. And yes. His opinion is he's sick of Star Wars and he's sick of Star Trek.
I hope that BioWare is able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and like do something that...
I don't know. We're going to see what happens with Obsidian. We're going to have people who worked for BioWare form their own new studio. The same thing with Irrational Games. Remember Irrational... used to be a different developer, and they became Irrational, and then they became something else because they were closed. Oh, yeah, they used to be Looking Glass. You know, Irrational used to be Looking Glass. So hopefully if BioWare fizzles out, there'll be a new company that's basically based on BioWare but not BioWare.
Yeah, but that doesn't bode well for OG BioWare if that's what happens, which may not be a bad thing, but it would be depressing.
Well, OG BioWare is gone anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, the doctors are gone. It's Ray Muzyka, and I keep forgetting the other guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, the doctors are no longer there, so... And which... What really makes me feel old is he's only 1 year older than me. Yeah, Greg Zeshek was the other guy. And they left in 2012. They haven't been there for a long while. So, anyways, you know what that means. It's time for a look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net. Along with industry news and our gaming history articles, we enjoy feedback. Send the comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, set us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. You can find me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shark.
And we will see you next week. And we will argue more about Star Wars and Star Trek, I promise. And maybe about the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe. Anyways, we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun. Take care. Play games, y'all.